There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiyo! Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Guy Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. Thank you so much for being here. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I have Jai, who's 3.5, and Ali, who is 20 months. I have been absolutely, like, smacked in the face this week with the kids being unwell and just trying to juggle work and the podcast and the business and everything. So if you are new around here, I have a business baby too called Your Birth Project. And Your Birth Project is an online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth. It's also an online store with pregnancy, birth, and postpartum products. We try to ship same day if you order before 1 o'clock, and we ship all over the world, so make sure you go and check that out. And it's also a beautiful journal, which is a pregnancy keepsake, it's birth education, and it's beautiful postpartum reflection. So that's a little bit about Your Birth Project. I'd love for you to go and check it out, especially if you're pregnant. It's just going to help you to create your best birth. So yeah, very excited about what that can offer you. But anyway, so my week has been just a bit of a nightmare. We had Ali sick Monday, Tuesday. Well, actually he's been like sick all weekend and then Monday, Tuesday. And Joe's just started a new job, which means that he is having a hard time taking any time off with the kids, which he usually would. So it's all fallen with me this week, and it just feels like it's been a week, and I think it is Thursday today, and Jai's now home with tonsillitis, so yeah, just feels like this week is kicking me while I'm down, but I'm getting through it, and Jai's hanging out with his grandparents right now while I get this episode out to you, because I owe you. Yeah, it's late this week, but I am just surviving, not thriving, and I feel like I've probably said that on this podcast before, but that's what I'm doing. Anyway, so today I am speaking with Taylor, and Taylor is mum to Hadley. She is 4 weeks old or a month old, and she's got such a beautiful, positive birth story to share with us. I just know there's going to be so many people who love this episode. I'm definitely going to add it to the Your Birth Project course because she's a Your Birth Project mum, but it's just such a positive story, and yeah, I know that you're going to get a lot out of it. She talks us through her pregnancy. She's actually a SCBU nurse, so a special care baby unit nurse. That's her job. She worked up until 37 weeks, so she talks us through what that was like and then into her spontaneous labor and quite quick birth story. I think it took about 6 hours. And then what life has been like over the last month or so with little Hadley. So I know you're going to love this episode. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to give me some feedback or just chat about the episode, send me an email, jordyn, jordan@kiwibirthtales.com, or find me on Instagram @kiwibirthtales or @yourbirthproject. Again, I am so grateful that you chose to have me in your ears. I know that you've got lots of different things that you could be watching or listening to, so you being here is just, yeah, I'm super grateful. So I hope you love the episode. I'd love to hear from you. Enjoy.
Hi, Taylor. Thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Sure. So I'm Taylor. I'm 25 years old and I'm a nurse. I work in the special care baby unit, and I previously have worked in a postnatal ward at the local DHB here. In my family, we have Dylan, who's my partner, and we've been together for 5 years. And then we have two dogs who were definitely our first babies. Nipsey is nearly 4 and Nala is nearly 3. And then we've just welcomed Miss Hadley into the world about, a month ago now. Yeah.
She's so new.
She is so new.
Cute. I love her name. That's so cool. Hadley, I really like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took us, I think, in total 10 days, I think, before we had a name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We took so long, which is, you know, I liked Hadley right from the get-go. When we were still in hospital, I said we should name her that, and it just took my partner a little bit of time to come around, I think.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to talk through, a lot of your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum experience so far, but why don't we start with what the journey was like to pregnancy for you and Dylan?
Cool. So, beginning of last year, I think I'd always been on the pill ever since we'd kind of, even through high school. So I'd probably been on the pill for 8-9 years at that point. And I think it would have been the end of 2021. We had discussed, obviously, that we would like to have a family one day and all of that. So we decided that I would come off the pill, January of last year. And I wanted to give my body like a good 6 or so months of just kind of regulating itself again. And just for me to like get back in touch with my cycle and all of that kind of stuff. So I came off the pill then. And I think I started tracking my ovulation around April, just out of interest. And I definitely like ovulated later than what all the apps said. So like the apps.
How were you tracking your ovulation?
I used the sticks. And then just obviously like my body signs as well. I definitely ovulated a lot later than what all the apps had predicted that I would ovulate at. So I'm kind of glad that we did that. But I think it came around to June and we said we would start kind of like trying, and I found out I was pregnant in August, we didn't fall pregnant on the first month, but it must have been the second, still very lucky, very quick.
Awesome. And how were you feeling when you saw that positive pregnancy test? Were you shocked? What were the emotions?
I don't know. Nobody can really tell you what it's going to be like. I was in shock. Though I was trying to get pregnant almost, but I was still in disbelief that there was two lines. So I went back down the road because I only had one test, and I bought more. I just kind of sat in it for the rest of the day, and because I did it first thing in the morning. I was due for my period that day, which is why I tested. Nobody can really, I guess, tell you what it's going to be like. I think that was kind of for the rest of, my first 20 or so weeks, I think it was just like, I didn't really think it was happening.
Awesome. And what about your like pregnancy symptoms in the first trimester? Did you have any morning sickness or other pregnancy symptoms that you noticed in the first 12 weeks?
I think I was just really tired from memory, utter exhaustion. Like I'd come home from work and I'd just collapse on the couch. I remember I had night shifts. And my other symptom was I would get super nauseous in the evenings. So like I would have to have dinner around like 4 or 5 o'clock. And then that was me for the rest of the night. Like I just felt so sick. So when those night shifts came round, I was exhausted and super nauseous. And I do remember one of the girls that I was working with at the time was like, "Are you pregnant?" And I was like, "No."
No, why are you asking that?
Why do you say that?
Also, I can't even imagine like working a job like a nurse where you're on your feet the whole time and like you've got to be really paying attention and you've got little babies around. Oh man, I work from home and I was still exhausted. So I can't imagine
that. I think that was one of the memories that I do have, like from working those night shifts. I think I must have been around 8 or 9 weeks. So I was really kind of in the thick of it at that point.
Yeah.
And one of the little babies was quite spilly. And so he had, you know, like he had spewed kind of like in his rolls and stuff like that on in his neck. And I just remember picking him up to feed him and just being like, oh, I'm going to be sick.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not nice. Yeah. And did you decide to go with a midwife for your care? And how did you go about finding one if you did?
Yes. So I went with a midwife. I had already chosen my midwife before I knew I was pregnant. I guess that's one of the perks working. You know, around birth and babies is that, you know, you kind of get to see all the different midwives in action. And yeah, right from the get-go, I loved the midwife that I chose, just purely for the care that she provided and, you know, her attention to detail with, you know, her woman and babies. My midwife did end up going into like a collective. So I started my pregnancy with her, but then she joined about 3 other midwives the beginning of this year. So, but all of the midwives that were in that collective all shared the same views and they all operated exactly like her. So I was very happy.
Awesome. Cool. And did you choose to do all of the testing that's offered to you in your pregnancy in New Zealand?
Yes. So I think just we didn't do the NIP test, but yeah, we did all of the scans and I had all the bloods and stuff like that. We purely decided not to do that test just because it, for us it wouldn't have really changed anything. And I was again kind of like, what am I going to do with the information? Know, from the test, I guess.
And what about finding out the sex? Did you decide to do that in your pregnancy?
No. So Miss Hadley was a gender surprise, which was honestly like the best thing ever. I think I could have definitely caved a couple of times. There was definitely, there was definitely curiosity, especially around my scan times, I found, more than anything. I got very curious as to what she was, but Dylan wasn't giving up on the surprise, so he didn't let me find out.
Awesome. Cool. And talk us through, how were you feeling about birth? Like, what were your thoughts in your pregnancy about how you wanted to give birth? Did you have any anxieties about it? Like, what were your thoughts before you did any, like, antenatal education or anything like that?
So before I found out I was pregnant, I loved birth, loved watching videos of birth, just loved everything about it. And then I got pregnant and I guess I just got, all of a sudden got super anxious, realized that I actually have to do that myself. And I guess working in the environment that I do, like it can at times be filled with quite like negative associations with birth. So you know, like I can somewhat see everything that can go wrong, which makes it quite hard to get into like that positive mind frame. So, you know, I listened to your podcast during my pregnancy and even beforehand, and you know, it's like fill yourself with positive birth stories and things like that, and that was very easy for me to do outside of work. But I had kind of no control over, you know, when I did get to work. Don't get me wrong, like I work in a level 2 unit, so you know, the super scary stuff, you know, happens once in a blue moon. But we do see, like, you know, the low blood sugars and all of that kind of stuff on the regular. And so yeah, I definitely felt anxious going in, just knowing that I had to do it. And I think with my partner, he obviously had no idea about anything. So also trying to like educate him.
Yeah, for sure. And what were your thoughts around where you wanted to give birth? So did you want to do it at home, in a birth centre, in hospital? What were you sort of thinking initially?
So I think I'm quite lucky because I had previously had maternity experience before SCBU. I knew that like the bad stuff was a very small percentage of, you know, all births. So in the beginning, I was quite open to a home birth.
Yeah.
However, I just could not get like fully into that mindset, if that makes sense. I really, really liked the idea of it, but I just, you know, seen, you know, and heard. And so it kind of was something that, I couldn't really wrap my whole head around and get fully into. So we opted for the birthing centre here in Hawke's Bay. Waiaha. It is attached to a hospital, but it's the primary birthing centre, So that's where I hoped that I could give birth if all went well here.
Awesome. And talk us through your thoughts around birth education. Did you do antenatal classes? What were your thoughts? Yeah, what did you want to do there?
With in terms of education, we did do antenatal classes, mostly for my partner, just to give him kind of an idea on what to expect and all of that. I mean, it was nice because I also just got to meet other people. And then we both did your birth project. So we did that together, and again that was super helpful for Dylan and myself, just to do it together, and so we're getting the same information. And then at the end of my I think we did it quite early in my third trimester, like around the 30 week mark. And then we revisited a whole bunch once I kind of got to term, like around 37 weeks. But I really, for me, the part of your birth project, which is that fear, tension, pain cycle, that really, really helped me, because it is very easy, obviously, to tense up. And I think that helped me a lot in my birth, definitely.
Awesome. Cool. And how were you feeling at the end of your pregnancy? When did you finish up work? Talk us through the final few weeks of your pregnancy.
So I worked till 37 weeks, which was quite ambitious in the end, really. But that first week that I had off maternity leave, it was really nice. I just booked in a whole bunch of, you know, appointments and like did lots of self-care and just really tried to unwind from work. That week was super nice, but I did get super uncomfortable in the end and just so tired. I couldn't sleep properly. And I remember walking in to work, it would have been like my last day or second to last day or something like that, and turning around and saying like, I just can't wait to sleep comfortably again. Like, I'm so uncomfortable at night, I'm waking up all the time, my hips are sore, and basically the whole, you know, the reaction that I got was, you're having a baby, Taylor, like you're never really gonna sleep comfortably again. But I was trying to explain, like, it's not necessarily, I knew that I wasn't going to be getting full night's sleep at all, but it was just more the fact of the sleep that I did get, I just wanted to be comfortable. I can confirm that my sleep now is 10 times better than it was when I was pregnant.
I can, resonate.
I think, and it wasn't really... Once I got to 39 weeks, I had always told myself that I was going to be going over due. I knew that it was very likely my first baby, and all of that. So I was fully prepared. But I don't know, something happened. Like, for me, when I got to 39 weeks, I started seeing all the people that were due around me. And they were having their babies. And people that were due after me were having their babies. And I was like, well... maybe I can have my baby early too. I remember I also started niggling like a couple weeks before I gave birth. And So it was kind of almost like the, oh, is this the beginning? Like constantly.
Yeah.
I think a couple of days before I gave birth, I remember waking up at 2 a.m. and just being super uncomfortable. I ended up coming down into the lounge because I just couldn't get comfortable. I wanted Dylan to get some sleep. And I remember even thinking that I was having like contractions. I was timing them and whatnot. And then, nothing really came of it. But I definitely was up and down that last week. Like I'd have a really good day and get like a burst of energy and get heaps of stuff done. And then the next day I literally didn't leave bed. So,
And talk us through when you went into labor. So was it spontaneous? How far along were you? And talk us through your labor and birth story.
Yeah, so I was 39 and 4. So I woke up on the Friday morning and I had a scan that was booked just to, like a growth scan because the midwives had all kind of agreed because there was 4 of them all doing fundal heights and stuff like that, that they would book all their clients in for a, term assessment just to make sure that all the growth and stuff was fine and they were happy to continue on, to go past due dates. So I got to the, that was at 9 a.m. and I got there and the sonographer was sick. So they were like, oh, we have to obviously reschedule you. And I just burst into tears. It was like, I was so looking forward to that appointment just because I hadn't really had any appointments that week. And I was just kind of, the days were starting to drag out. They were really long. So it was just nice to have something to look forward to, I guess. And so, I was super upset. And obviously it wasn't the sonographer's fault. But I just ended up getting in the car. I think I got Macca's on the way home. And I literally just spent the whole day on the couch feeling sorry for myself. There was lots of tears. And I remember, like, Dylan trying to call me. And I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone right now. So, and the whole, the previous days before that, I was trying to keep my oxytocin flowing. I was trying to, do all of the things to help my body. But on the Friday, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to give in to having a bad day. So I think I'd done some antenatal expressing maybe around 2 o'clock and then I had a really long shower and Dylan got home just before 4 o'clock and as he walked through the door I was putting some washing into the dryer and my waters broke. Just really, kind of like a small leak. That I kind of just turned around to Dylan and I said, I've either just weed myself or my waters have just broken. But I'm pretty sure I didn't just wee myself because I just went to the bathroom. And at that point I was a little bit and obviously like, oh shit, because I was in such a negative mood that I was like, I need to get things positive again. And I almost I forgot what to do when your waters break but you're not having contractions. So I did know that I needed to pop a pad on just to check the color and stuff like that, so I did that and then I gave my midwife a call. Just because I was like, I need somebody to walk me through what I'm supposed to be doing from now. And she obviously said, no sex, no bath, hopefully contractions start, but try and relax and don't do anything crazy to try and get them to start. And she did say obviously if they didn't start within 24 hours I would need to come in and look at being induced the following day. So that was roughly 4 o'clock and honestly by the time I got the phone from her I think that's when I got my first contraction. And so we had quite a few little things that we needed to get done, I remember. So like Dylan needed to go sort out just like we'd had some cashy jobs in the previous week, so I was like, you need to go pay the people. So I sent him out the door because I was like, if we're having a baby this weekend, like we don't want to be forgetting about all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of potted around home. I ended up texting him and asked him to buy me some Bondi Sands. because I was like, oh, love that. Like 10.
yeah.
You know, I had heard that people, you know, can be in that stage of labor for so long. So I was like, you know, I might as well just go about my evening, you know, try and relax. I had Love Island on, and I just kind of sat on my birthing ball. And because baby had been like posterior in my previous check. So I was quite aware that I wanted to get, you know, her into a better position if I could.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of sat on my birthing ball. My contractions ramped up quite quickly, though. I think within like an hour, I was like already having my contractions were, you know, I was having 3 and 10. They were coming every 2 to 3 minutes. So bless Dylan. I think he ended up getting back home around 5:30 after he went and did everything. And he came in with the Bondi Sands, and I was like, nah, I'm not, I can't. I was like, it's not happening. I don't know what I was thinking. And I was putting the TENS machine on at that point. Which my midwife did say to me, it just was in the back of my head. She was like, try and use it earlier in labor than later if you can. Because she said it just obviously doesn't work, you know, quite the way that we like it to. And most people end up taking it off if they put it in too late. So I just, at that point, I think just was walking around the house, and I was still timing contractions, but I think by the time it got to like 6:30, I was like to Dylan, I'm not timing contractions anymore. Like, I know that I've been having, you know, 3 and 10 for a couple of hours now. I know that I'm in active labor. Our plan was to labor at home for as long as I possibly could, like till the point that I didn't feel comfortable anymore. So we did call my midwife just to let her know that I was, you know, like in active labor, but I'm okay to continue at home for a little while longer. So she said she'd have her dinner, and she would also, she was said that she was happy to do a house visit before we went to the hospital, just to check progress, you know, because I did say I don't want to go there and only be like, you know, 4 or 5 centimeters. I really wanted to try and labor for as long as I could. Honestly, within, I think, 20 minutes of making that phone call, I was like, I'm going now. They were coming really hard and fast. It was almost like, I couldn't get over how quickly I, you know, had gone from not experiencing anything to, like, I wasn't getting a break at all, you know. So I was walking around the house, and Dylan's like packing everything up, and the car ride was definitely not great. We obviously live in Hawke's Bay, so with the cyclone that happened in February, the traffic can get really bad over the expressway to the hospital. We only had one bridge at the time, so anyone that was crossing over between Hastings and Napier has to use the same route. So we were very lucky that, the traffic had subsided. I think we left home just after 7 o'clock. But of course, we did get stuck behind somebody going like 70 km. And I was using the comb in the car as well, I remember. Which was good. But Dylan got a bit scared at some points because he thought that I was like, I kept gripping the handle on the door. He thought I was going to jump out. He was putting the lock on the doors and things like that. So, I think we got to Waiaha around 7:30. And it was actually closed, which is not kind of uncommon just due to staffing here at the moment. But my midwife was able to organise for me to still labour and birth there, which was nice. So I arrived, and they asked me if I wanted to use the pool. And I was like, no, there's no way that I could sit down right now, because I was just constantly moving through my contractions. Like, you know, I was either on the toilet or I was just walking around. Like, I don't think at one point I'd sat down apart from the car ride. So I was like, the pool's not going to help me. But they were like, just give it a go, give it a go. And so, yeah, I jumped into the pool and I basically didn't leave. It was like instant relief. Like it was so nice. You just feel so weightless in there, which was like a really, you know, big help. Yeah, so that was nice. And then, yeah, things just kind of got blurry from here. I am kind of glad that I wasn't like really set up on my birth environment too much. I just knew that I wanted it dark and to have like some nice lighting. And my midwife took care of that. Like I didn't even have to say anything to her. She just did it, which was really nice.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I said, everything kind of got blurry from here. I remember like asking, like, can I have something more? Like I need something at this point. So I did try the gas. I did not like it. Yeah, for me, I know everyone's different, but yeah, I just didn't like the spaced out feeling. I've already felt like I wasn't in control.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And so that just kind of didn't make me feel, it kind of made me feel a bit more anxious than anything. So I didn't use that. And then, yeah, I think at about 9 p.m., I just turned around and I said, I can't do this anymore. Give me an epidural. I'm moving over to, you know, it was just through the double doors, really, to the hospital, so the maternity unit. And, yeah, so I was like, I'm tapping out. And I said to Dylan, I said, I thought I could do it, but I really can't. And yeah, so my midwife said to me, she was like, should I just check you again? So sorry, when I first arrived to the hospital, I was, 6 centimeters. And when she checked me again an hour and a half later, I was fully. I kept telling her, like, I kept saying, like, I feel pressure, like, I, you know, I feel, and she just said, just go with it, just go with it. So once she checked me and said, yeah, you're fully, you can start pushing when you want to. So that was really reassuring, because I said to Dylan, I was like, oh, that just makes me feel so much better knowing that the reason that I was thinking all these things. And I did say to him before she checked me, I said, if this isn't transition, I don't want it anymore.
If this isn't transition, then fuck this. I'm not doing
it. Honestly, like I said to her, that that was me. I was like, you know what, I can do it. If this is transition, I can do it. But if this is not transition, then I'm tapped out. And I had no problem saying that to her. And he was like, yeah, like I get it. He was really good as well, because I think the only thing that really got me through any stage of my life was the breathing techniques. Everything else was kind of, like I said, like a blur. Like I don't really remember a lot of what kind of happened, but I just remember focusing on my breathing. And I do think that that, you know, I don't think I could have done it if I didn't have control in that aspect. So yeah, I think I kind of bared down for close to an hour. And I just remember getting to like the last 10 or so minutes and just wanting it to be over. But I did find great relief from pushing. Like, it's almost like the pain just goes away. And it's just pressure. Like, and at least you're working against it instead of.
You feel like you're sort of doing something, eh? Yeah.
I think that's the hardest thing I felt prior to that, was that I just had to surrender to the contraction. Like I, you know, I would feel myself go tense and stuff. And Dylan would remind me to like relax my face, relax my shoulders and just breathe. And he did that for each contraction, which really helped. But yeah, during the pushing, I did find great relief in just being able to actually do something. So yeah, I think just before, maybe 5 or so minutes before she was born, like, I did say to Dylan, I said something like, are you ready to meet your baby? And I was like, you know, are you, because things had happened so fast, we didn't really have a chance to, like, say, but I said to him, you know, when the midwife grabs, because I had stayed in the pool at this point, which wasn't actually part of my plan, but I just didn't want to get out. So I said, you know, once the midwife, like, gets the baby, you know, and lifts them up, like, you can announce if it's a boy or a girl before I have skin to skin. And my midwife turned around at that point. She said, you're doing so well and progressing so well that I actually thought you can catch your baby yourself. And I was like, oh, I didn't even really think of that. Yeah, so that was really cool. Obviously, the ring of fire. I did actually, like, verbalize the ring of fire. I said, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she was born just before 10 o'clock, like 2 minutes to 10.
Wow.
And honestly, like, once her head was out, the rest of her just kind of came out very quickly. And I went to get her out, but the cord was, like, loosely around your neck. So I just had to kind of unloop it and bring it up to my chest. And it wasn't really until, I think, a couple minutes had passed and she was on my chest that we were like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? And I lifted her up for Dylan to, you know, to have a look. And yeah, she was a girl. And I honestly think it's so funny because everyone thought we were having a boy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone. Which was, everyone that I worked with, both sides of our family. Like, there was very few people that thought she was a girl.
Yeah. And so cool. And what a quick birth, right? Like, from your day of feeling, like, so pissed off about your skin and just like, negative, and then going into labor in the afternoon, and then your baby's here by 10 o'clock. Like, that's crazy.
I know. And I think that's what I kept, like, I just remember just being in, like, disbelief that everything had happened so quickly. I think it was like 6 hours from start to finish.
Amazing.
Sometimes I feel like I kind of, I don't know, like, I missed out because I didn't get to kind of have all of the stages that I was preparing myself for, you know?
But in
hindsight, I'm like, oh, it was nice that it was so quick and over and done with. Like, I could do that over and over again if it was that quick.
Amazing. And a couple of things that I forgot to ask you before your birth story. Were you doing anything, like, to try and prepare your body for birth in terms of, like, raspberry leaf tea or dates or perineal massage, antenatal expressing, anything like that?
Yeah, so I was pretty much doing everything apart from the perineal massage. I had bought stuff to do it, and then I just kind of never got round to it, if that makes sense. But I started raspberry red leaf tea, I think it was around 33 weeks. And then I started dates at 36 weeks. And I was also doing antenatal expressing. So I was kind of trying to do everything anyway. And I do think that I like to believe that that all helped.
Well, who knows, but you can think that way, right? Like, I'm totally the same. Like, just try all the things and hope that something works.
Definitely. And I'm like, I don't know which one may have done it, but I'm going to believe that's, you know, one of the things that I did definitely helped.
Awesome. Cool. And in your labor, like, when you were still at home and when you got to the hospital, I guess, were you eating and drinking anything? Like, were you trying to keep your energy levels up? How were you doing that?
I was definitely drinking my water. But I kind of, didn't feel hungry. Which, in hindsight, like, I look back now, and because I was in such a crappy mood on that Friday, like, I think I had McDonald's for breakfast. And then I think I honestly had, like, a can of Pringles for lunch. And, so I didn't actually really eat on that Friday. So, looking back, I'm, like, definitely something that I would do because I was exhausted and so hungry afterwards. By the time we kind of got everything sorted, it was, like, midnight. So Dylan, bless him, was tired, obviously. So yeah, we just ended up having toast and, you know, waited for the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Cool. And did you need any stitches from your birth?
Yeah, so I had a second degree tear. Mm-hmm. It was on my labia, so not my perineum. Yeah. So I had an intact perineum, which I was quite thankful for, obviously working in a maternity unit. So yeah, and honestly, it wasn't actually that bad. Like, I was more scared for getting my local than getting stitches, if that makes sense. But I didn't even feel getting my local.
Yeah.
So, like, just if anyone has got the same fear, like, you don't feel it. Which was definitely nice. And I think one thing that I was unprepared for was, just the bleeding. You know, like, I had my shower, kind of got myself all sorted. And, yeah, the bleeding is, I ended up the next morning, we discharged, you know, I think 10 o'clock the next morning. Yeah. And we went to the supermarket and Dylan shot in and got me like underwear, the disposable underwear, which was something that I had on my list to get, but I just never got round to it. But yeah, those were a lifesaver afterwards.
Yeah, I just, like, I wish they had those at the hospital to give out to mums, because I reckon, like, sometimes you'll hear someone talk about it and you'll be like, what the fuck, like, I'm not going to use those, or those sound weird, I'll just use pads. But they're actually, like, just the best thing that you can use postpartum, because they keep everything in and you can,
there's no leaking. Like, I think I went through 3 pairs of underwear that night. Every time I got out of bed, I had to change, like, my underwear and my pant. Like, you know, it was just so annoying. And I wish that I didn't have to do any of that. You know, I look back now and I'm like, oh, so definitely for next time, I know that it will help.
Awesome. And how were you feeling going home? Like, what a surreal experience taking your baby home. Talk us through the next couple of days. How were you feeling? And what was it like?
Yeah, it was definitely, like, super surreal. Obviously, I'd sent so many babies home with their parents. And I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of the time things are maybe, like, romanticized a lot. Like, it was obviously super, super nice taking her home. But, yeah, it wasn't the moment that I kind of, I guess, I expected that it would be. I thought it was going to be, like, this, like, amazing, you know, moment. But it really was, like, we put the baby in the car and we take her home. Which, you know, so once we got home, it was nice. We kind of settled in, because that was the other thing, is that we didn't tell anyone that I was in labor. We had both, I'd kind of, like, during my pregnancy, I don't know, I almost felt, like, quite protective and just, I don't know, I didn't like the idea of, people knowing that we were in labor and, you know, knowing that it could take days, you know, I just didn't want that pressure. So we didn't tell anyone. So the next morning was cool, because we got to obviously FaceTime both sets of our families and tell everyone that she was here, which was, you know, a nice way for them to wake up to on a Saturday morning. I also didn't think that I wanted visitors straight away. But actually, that afternoon, I got my mum to come over, and we had his family come over on the Saturday night as well. But it's funny. I think once she was here, I didn't feel that way anymore, and I wanted to share her with people. But definitely before having her, I didn't think that that would be the case. I really thought that I just wanted to be in my little bubble for as long as I could be. But so it was nice. And that first night being at home, I was fully prepared for cluster feeding. You know, night two, it's, you know, hard, and working especially in the postnatal ward at a hospital, you know, I've spent so many nights, like, up with parents that, you know, are beside themselves because their babies won't settle. And so I was really prepared for it. I had antenatal colostrum that I was like, yep, I can use this. And she slept 5 hours. She's at like 12 till 5. And
yeah.
She's pretty much done that, or, you know, she's now doing longer stretches. But she, yeah, I think I feared going to bed for those probably the first week, because I was like, is tonight the night? It's tonight the night that she's super unsettled. But we've just been super lucky, and I don't think it comes down to anything that necessarily we're doing. I think it's just her.
Yeah.
Every baby's so different.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've definitely been very lucky.
Yeah, amazing. And how were you feeling, or how have you been feeling over the last month mentally? Have you noticed any of the baby blues, or like any sort of significant hormone shifts or anything like that?
So I definitely felt when my milk came, like the night that my milk was coming in, I just was crying. Like I couldn't even tell you what I was crying about.
Yeah.
I just felt super emotional. And so I was kind of like to Dylan, I'm going to have a shower. I'm going to go to bed early. Like, you've got some colostrum in the freezer if you need to use it. Otherwise I'll be up in a few hours to feed her. And I could hear her crying down in the lounge, and obviously, so I couldn't go to sleep. So I just ended up coming down here and just, I think, like feeding and crying. But all over the show, really. But I think that was really kind of my only night of feeling, you know, what I would think would, yeah, the baby blues.
Yeah,
there has been some times where she does something, or my partner will say something, and I feel like immense love that I just, will start crying. It's definitely something that, people tell you about, but you can't really prepare for until they're here. But it's definitely a ride of emotions.
Yeah, for sure. And what about your physical recovery from birth? So how have you found your stitches have healed over the past 4 weeks?
Really good. So I basically can't feel them, obviously, anymore. But the first week, I just utilized my peri bottle.
Oh, yes.
I had a peri spray. So I didn't use any toilet paper. And I literally just, used the peri bottle, and that was it.
Yeah.
I did also, like, shower morning and night just to try keep things, like, super clean.
Yeah.
But so the first week actually was okay, and then I like gradually started using like toilet paper and stuff again.
Been
super lucky with my stitches. They haven't caused me any grief or anything like that. I was super scared to obviously do number two. Like I think a lot of people obviously are. And I had like I bought like a poop stool, because I remember watching and reading Rebecca's.
Oh yes, she influenced me to buying one of those as well.
But honestly, I couldn't obviously use it immediately postpartum because of like my pelvic floor. Everything just felt like so not great. But I ended up just I think having some Kiwi Crush and things like that, and even now still I get like a little bit nervous to go, but then I'm like, oh, it's actually fine.
Well, you're still like almost, so close to giving birth, right? Like a month isn't that long ago.
I know. And like the good thing as well is that I'm, you know, me and my partner, we're super open about, like, I think especially me being a nurse, I'm just like, it's natural, like it's everyone does it, it's not taboo, it's nothing. So like we've had good laughs about and, you know, he's was super supportive in that first week, where I think had been like, you know, 4 or 5 days, which I think is totally normal not to have gone in that time frame after birth. But he was super supportive about trying to get me to go and being encouraging, things like that. So it's interesting how much our relationship has changed, and how I guess open you can be now. Like he's like obviously seen everything. And like
I often reflect on that, like the things I used to be embarrassed about with Joe before having babies, and then like literally I don't think there's anything that could make me feel embarrassed now.
It's totally so not like I used to, I mean, you know, we've been together for 5 years, but even during like being pregnant, I'd like get out the shower and I'd be like covered in a towel and, you know, like to put my underwear and stuff on. And now I'm just like, oh, like it is what it is, walking around the house.
So funny. Awesome. And what about your feeding journey? How have you found feeding her over the last month? And yeah, what has that looked like for you?
Yeah, so we have been quite lucky with breastfeeding. The first couple of feeds that she had, I remember being just a little bit like worried that I was like, oh, maybe, you know, this isn't going to work for us, because she would latch onto my left side beautifully. Like I never had an issue, but I just couldn't get her latched onto my right side. But now that my milk is in and stuff like that, everything is absolutely fine in the feeding department. We've been quite lucky. She did lose, I think, like 8% of her birth weight in the first week. So I forgot to say, me and my partner both got COVID the day after got home. Yeah, so the day after I had her, Dylan tested positive, and then a few days later I tested positive. So I think my milk didn't come in like as quickly maybe as it would have, but obviously it's still within the normal range, you know, to lose that kind of weight anyway.
So
we've just been breastfeeding on demand, really, which is such an interesting thing, because working in Skibo, like, it's so strictly like 3 or 4 hourly feeds, like on the hour or the half hour, you know, you know, and then like if you fed a baby and they wake in an hour, it's like, why are you awake? I've just fed you, you know. But obviously babies, like term healthy babies, really, they'll just tell you where they want to be fed. So, you know, it was kind of every couple of hours in the morning. And then I did find in those first couple of weeks she would cluster feed in the afternoon, early evening. But I was also super thankful because she'd stop by 10 o'clock and she'd just go straight down in her bed. So we've been super lucky with nighttime sleep. So I just kind of take the days for whatever they are. But yeah, I've loved breastfeeding. I didn't know if I would like it. I obviously knew that I wanted to breastfeed just for the health benefits and stuff like that. But actually having like a little person latched onto you whenever they want to, I didn't know how that was gonna go for me, but I've loved it. And yeah, we did introduce a bottle last week that I just pump, and Dylan gives it to her in the evening, just because I will be returning to work around 7 months, so with shift work, obviously we can't even get into a routine of, you know, she just breastfeeds at these times. So we really needed to make sure that she could take a bottle for when I, you know, was on night shift or day shift or, you know.
Awesome. Cool. And has there been anything that you've used like in your recovery or that you use for Hadley or anything like that you'd recommend to other mums as like a must have?
So like definitely for me postpartum, the disposable underwear, the peri bottle as well, and like a peri spray. I feel like really if you've got those things, everything, you know, can kind of be super comfortable as well. And then for Hadley, we just kind of stuck to like the bare minimum because we didn't know what she, you know, what we were having. We didn't get a lot of clothes, we didn't get a lot of swaddles or anything like that, so we just have like a few things of everything. But we do rave about the Love to Dream, which is funny because a couple of people that have had babies around the same time as me, they haven't been able to get their babies to, you know, like them. But we've used them, you know, since the night that we came home. And she sleeps, like, and it's just so easy for nighttime changing and not mucking around with heaps of, you know, like the traditional swaddles and whatnot. So we haven't actually even really used our traditional swaddles, which, you know, we'll obviously just keep and maybe give away or whatnot. But we also got the Edwards & Co. Package with the stand. The stand is super helpful if you can obviously afford to get it. It's just so nice. We've just got it permanently set up in our lounge, and we can either click the capsule in, so like it's super easy to get her in and out of.
Yeah.
Or if she's fallen asleep in the carry cot on a walk, I can just like bring it inside and pop the carry cot on the stand. So yeah, that's been super helpful as well.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And I'm sure there'll be so many people that listen to this episode and go, how do I replicate her birth? So have you got any like tips or anything that you'd say to a mum who's giving birth sometime soon and is maybe feeling a little bit anxious? Or I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's just really, you just go with it. Like I just kind of surrendered to the process. I remember as my contractions started ramping up, like in the early stages, I could talk through them and, you know, I was trying to have a laugh with Dylan and, you know, just keep moving. But, you know, once they kind of ramped up and I had to start focusing on my breathing and whatnot, it was just surrender to the process. I also honestly think because I didn't sit down once, I don't think I sat down, obviously, apart from the car ride, from when my waters broke. So like obviously staying upright, staying active, I think like played a role as well. But it's I wish I could go and do it all over again. Like it's not to be scared about, you know. Obviously you can hear, you know, scary stories and all that kind of stuff, but your journey will be completely different. Like no two births are ever going to be like completely the same, obviously. So I think just try and enjoy the bits that you can. And I just remember being super excited once I realized it was happening. And trying to keep that kind of mindset, or and having a good partner as well. I think Dylan really helped me. And I didn't know how I wanted him to help me, obviously, because I'd never done this before. But, like, he did try a couple of times to, like, ask me what I wanted during a contraction. You know, he kept, like, asking me things, like, asking me questions. And I had to, like, tell him off in between. I'm like, I can't talk to you. Like, you know, but having that conversation with him, you know, when I could. I thought I wanted him to be more hands-on prior to going into labor, but I actually preferred a hands-off approach and just having him there. Like, I definitely used him as I was pushing to like hold on to and you know, help me to kind of bear down a block. But you know, during my contractions prior to that, he was quite hands-off, but was there to coach me with my breathing, and that definitely helped, because there's no way that I could have remembered or counted myself my breath without him.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on the podcast today. I've really loved talking to you, and I know that there'll be so many people that love your episode. So yeah, super grateful that you're willing to share, and I hope that you and little Hadley have a beautiful day today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. It's I have loved listening to the podcast. So super grateful to be on it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.